Thế thì Max family are missing. We get to my car to take the Max car's manual.
Okay,
We missed on it. So I he's around and about waiting the half an hour. He couldn't come here.
no, you could if you want. I don't know. Just wondering. Next time, tell me you could. Okay, so welcome everyone. It's Parshas Beshalach. And what I want to focus on in Parshas Beshalach is the Shira. So we have the Shabbos. Actually, it's called Shabbos Shira. It's coming Shabbos. It's Shabbos of song because it's when the Yidden come out of Mitzrayim. They come to the sea. They get blocked by the Mitzrayim is running after them. And Hashem splits the sea, and they go, and then they saved, and then they sing Shir, they sing a song to Hashem. So I'm gonna, what I want to do is share with you a couple of ideas on the Shira, on the song that was it that that's in Parshas Beshalach. Just one second, I'm going to share the screen. There we are. Okay. So the Shira begins, we said actually every day in davening. The Shira begins by the following. It says, Oz Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael, literally translated normally as then Hashem, then Moshe Rabbeinu sang and the Jewish people. Es Hashira Hazois, this song La Hashem to God. Vayomru Le'mor, and they said, saying, take note of that expression. Vayomru Le'mor, they said, saying, Ashira La'Hashem, I'm going to sing to God, ki go'oy go'o, because it's exalted. Sus v'roichoy, the horse and its rider, Romo Bayom, he threw into the sea, meaning he drowned the Egyptians and saved the Jewish people. And then the Shira goes on with a number of verses, and there's a whole song. We say it every day in davening. And it's a beautiful piece of the parsha. Now, the famous problem is the first two words. First two words is Oz Yashir. Really, in Hebrew, what does Oz Yashir mean?
Yes.
Then, Oz Yashir means then. Yashir means he will sing, right? It's almost like saying Oz Yashir, then Moshe Rabbeinu will sing. What does that mean? Yeah. So, simple pshat that the Chazal tell us, Rashi I think brings it down if I'm mistaken. He says, "Mikan remez letchias ha-meisim min ha-Torah." Here's a hint to the resurrection of the dead in the Torah. We know that one of the 13 principles of faith is the coming of Mashiach and tchias ha-meisim. In fact, that's number 12 and number 13. When you sing Yigdal on Friday night, some people sing Yigdal. We end up by meisim michayekel. Hashem will bring the dead back to life. However, although Mashiach is somewhat hinted in the Torah, Tchias HaMeisim is not really explicit in the Torah, although we believe it and we know it's a fundamental part of our faith. But there are certain times when we find it's in Tanakh, but it's a certain times where we find a hint to Tchias HaMeisim. And Chazal tell us this is one of the places that Oz Yashir Moshe, then Moshe Rabbeinu will sing, is a hint to Tchias HaMeisim. Because when Mashiach will come, Oz, then Yashir Moshe Rabbeinu will sing U'Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu will be with us once again, and he will sing with the B'nai Yisrael, the song to Hashem, which means that's the remez, that's the hint for the concept of Tchias HaMeisim, of the resurrection of the dead. Okay. That's the famous idea. But I want to share with you an idea that I saw in a sefer called Sari Alofim, based on other things. And he gives a beautiful idea, and he starts with the following. He starts with the following concept. We know one of the things that we find, particularly in Hasidic works, is the idea of hachana le-mitzvah, preparing for a mitzvah, not just the mitzvah itself, but preparing for a mitzvah. Why is this? So one of the ways to explain is the following. There's a famous line from the Baal Shem Tov. It's brought in a sefer of Toldos. Tell us one of the Talmidim, one of the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov, and he quotes this in the Baal Shem Tov and other places quoted that b'mokim shel adam nimsa. Where is a person found? Where do you find the person? Not where he physically is. The person is where his thoughts are, right? It's an interesting, fascinating concept. In other words, a person is where his thoughts are, meaning that, let's say davening, right? I once heard a little story that a person was davening, and after he finished Shmoneh Esrei, he finished Amidah, his Rav walked up to him and said to him, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? Welcome back. He looks at his Rav and he says, I don't know, I wasn't away. He says, no, I noticed you were all over the world. First part of the Shmoneh Esrei looks like you were in China, you were doing some business there. Then you were in Europe visiting tourist sites. Then in the last part of Shmoneh Esrei, you were in America. Now, and now you're back, so Shalom Aleichem, right? But there's some depth in that. In other words, obviously, the davening has value, even if we just say the words. It's part of the commitment, it's part of the conviction. And we just do it because we have to, and that connects us to Hashem, no question. However, the real truth is that if we want to really daven properly, we have to be present. We have to have kavana. Kavana means you have to have the right thoughts. You have to be there, not just physically, not just say the words, not just be there standing there. You have to actually be focused on what you're doing. And that's true with every mitzvah. Every mitzvah is like that, right? To do a mitzvah, you can just do a mitzvah mechanically, and the mitzvah is done, and it connects you to Hashem, and it keeps you out of trouble, and it's good. However, really, the real way of doing a mitzvah is to do what we call maisim toivim. We say, you know, when a baby is born, we say the baby should grow up, the Torah, the chuppah, or the maisim toivim, right? Good deeds. Why don't we say good deeds? We can just say maisim. Deeds. I mean, obviously, we're not thinking about transgressions, right? It means you do good things. It's already embedded in the word maisim. You never say maisim toivim, but it says many places the word maisim toivim means it's maisim toivim umeirim. They should do things not just robotically. In other words, the child should grow up to do mitzvahs, but in a way where it's living mitzvahs, it's shining mitzvahs. How's a mitzvah shining and living? By the fact that you're fully present when you're doing them. You understand? Like you're like into it. You're focused. So, okay, so that's why, because if not, you're not really there. Because that's what Baal Shem Tov says. Where are you? Your body might be doing the mitzvah, but where are you? You're not there. You're somewhere else because you are where your thoughts are. So how do you do that? That's a very difficult and demanding idea. How do you do that? Do that by preparation. You have to learn about the mitzvah. You have to think about it. You have to gear yourself up. You have to get yourself in the frame of mind. You have to be fully focused. You have to be really putting your mind to the mitzvah long before the mitzvah. Long before the mitzvah. You have to prepare. That's why Hasidim used to say that Hechsher mitzvah is gressed with the mitzvah alein. That preparing for a mitzvah is higher than the mitzvah itself. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean you can skip the mitzvah and just do the preparation, right? But it's the preparation. You know, I have one of my educational beefs, you could say. I've often spoke about it, is this, right? That nowadays, it doesn't come from me, actually. It comes from another idea. In fact, let me show you how it's connected with this parsha. There was, then I'll tell you my problem, right? You have a look at number two in the thing. It's also this week's parasha. This week's parasha also has to do with the mon coming down, right? And Hashem says like this, Re'u, number two, Re'u, there's a pasuk that says, Re'u, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people, Re'u, observe, ki Hashem nosan lachem ha-Shabbos. Hashem has given you the Shabbos. Al keinu nosan lachem ha-yom ha-shishi lechem yomoy. And he therefore is giving you a Friday to collect double portion of man. Because on Shabbat, every day of the week, the Jews in the desert used to go out to collect the man, right? But he says, when it comes Shabbos, Shvu ish tachtav, everyone should stay where they are. Al yotze ish mi mekoyim yom hashvi. No one should go out to their place on the seventh day. So, what's a deeper interpretation of this pasuk? Deep interpretation like this: Hashem says, I'm giving you Shabbos. Shabbos is a time of holiness. Shabbos is a time you can experience godliness in a different way. Shabbos is a time when you can develop a certain depth of connection between you and Hashem, right? But if you really want to do it properly, Al Kain, therefore, I gave you Friday. Friday to prepare. You got to prepare for Shabbos. There has to be a Friday. A Friday means you've got to think about Shabbos and cook for Shabbos and prepare for Shabbos and look at the parasha of the week and really get into the Shabbos mode. Because you don't have Shabbos, you don't have Friday, you don't have Shabbos. And therefore, he says, I'm giving you a Friday so that you can collect double bread, you can collect, you can prepare for Shabbos. Because Shabbos, you have to be there. Don't go out of your place on Shabbos, meaning be present, be involved in the Shabbos. You can only do that if you have a Friday. And this actually is a story I heard it told by different people, but I first heard it told in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in America. One of the Gedolim of America. And he said the following. He said that we know when the Jews first came to America, it was very difficult. First of all, some of them wanted to give off the responsibility of Yiddishkeit, but also there was a huge problem. Even though they wanted to still keep Yiddishkeit, keeping Shabbos was a very, very big test. Well, it's a famous thing. When the Jews first came to America, you know, before the war, long before the war, there was no such thing. Yeah, if you didn't show up to work on Friday and on Shabbos, you were fired the next day. Monday, you were fired, right? And there were many Yidden, Taka did have Mesirus Nefesh. Every time they came Monday, they got fired. They looked for a different job every week. Some people couldn't withstand the temptation. You can't judge them, but I'm saying it was a difficult thing, right? She said to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that over time, things got better. And after a while, they said, in America, we got back the Shabbos. He said, we got back the Shabbos, but we didn't get back the Friday. He said, people don't observe Friday properly, right? So my beef is that this is generally like this, right? Every mitzvah, you can just arrive at the mitzvah. But if you arrive at the mitzvah, then you won't be there. Your thoughts will be somewhere else. That goes back to the Baal Shem Tov, right? Nowadays, I'll give you an example of what I mean, right? Chanukah licht. Right, Chanukah. I know I grew up, but I still do this myself. My children tell me that they remember looking at it, right? The preparing for the Chanukah licht was a big deal in our house. I know my father used to come, he used to roll cotton wool and put the oil used to spill, and you have to get the wick right. And like that, right? Nowadays, you can go into a store, you can have ready-made oil wicks, you just cut off the top and boom, ready to go. You don't have to even think about Chanukah before. You can come a day before and just buy the things and it's all done, right? Same thing building a sukkah. Building a sukkah took time. Took time. It took time. It took a lot of time. Yeah. To build a sukkah, you have to find schach, you have to run the schach. Nowadays, you have a pop-up sukkah, you throw on a mat, you buy the decorations, and it's all done. You can do it all in 10 minutes, right? It's a problem because, and same with Shabbos, you can buy the whole Shabbos nowadays if you want, right? It's a problem because you don't live the whole week with it, you don't prepare it. And you don't prepare it, then you run to the Friday, you run to the Shabbos. It's an issue. It's also an issue of chinuch, it's a big issue. Right. So he says like this. Therefore, this is the pshat. Oz Yoshir Moshe. He says, song. What is song? Song is what you sing is a response. When you sing to something, it's a response that you're into it. Right? A lot of people sing in davening because they want to get into the davening, right? Why do you sing at the wedding at chasna or a simcha? Because you're fully there, you're right? Because you're enjoying it, right? He says, yeah, but even that needs preparation. So that's the pshat, Oz Yashir Moshe. Oz, then, Moshe Rabbeinu sang. You know why he sang? Because he didn't just fall into this moment. Oz Yashir, he already in the past was looking into the future. He was preparing for the song. He was preparing to sing because he had a munah that it's going to happen. You know, Hashem is going to save him. He was gearing himself up for the singing, right? He was gearing himself up for the singing, and that's how he was able to sing properly, able to be there. So the Oz, why was he there then? Why did he respond with such a song, such an amazing song? Because Yashir, because he looked into the future, he prepared for it. He didn't start now. It started way before. He was preparing for the song. He was getting himself in the mood. He was getting himself in the frame of mind, and that's why Yashir Moshe, and that's why Oz. He was able to be there and be fully there. By the way, just going back to the idea of Shabbos and the Friday. Rabbi Moss once told me that after he got married, when he first came here, he told me he went with his wife to visit a family in Eretz Yisrael. And his wife, I don't know if she's alive, but his wife had an old aunt in Meir Shearim. Not the real Meir Shearim. She was from the old country. I don't know where she was from, but she wasn't like part of the modern world at all, right? And this aunt on Wednesday already used to make matzah meal for making the gefilte fish on Thursday. That's a Shabbos. That's how you live a whole week with Shabbos. It's different, you understand? I'd say it's different, so different. Anyway, that's something we have to give thought to. The idea of preparing. Same thing with davening. Davening needs preparation. It comes fall into that. If you have to think about it, you have to be mizboinen, you have to think and reflect a little bit on the davening. Everything needs preparation. When you prepare for something, then you're there. Then you're fully there. Okay. That's one idea. There's another idea I want to share with you on the Shira that goes like this. If you have a look at number four. Oops, 1 second. It's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says like this. I'm going to answer this phone just for 1 second. Sorry. I'm just in the middle of a second shiur. I'll call you back as soon as I'm finished. Okay. Okay. Bye. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. So Gemara in Sotah is number four. Let's read through it. Question is about the song and how the Yidden sang the song. Tonu Rabbono, rabbis learned. Boi ba yoim dorosh Rabbi Akiva. That day Rabbi Akiva made the following drasha. B'shar she'olu Yisrael min hayam. When the Yidden came up from the sea. Nosnu einem loy mashira. They turned their attention to sing to Hashem and to sing the Shira. By the way, this song wasn't just a song. Obviously, it was a very deep song. It was the Ruach HaKodesh and everything. This song has a lot of depth. Says Rabbi Akiva, the Kate said, Omru Shira. How do they say Shira? Kegodol hamakriya sahalil. Like a godol, like an adult, prompting everyone to sing Hallel. I'm explaining that in a minute. V'heim oinin rashi prakim. And they just say the headlines, like the bullet points. What does that mean? So let me give that the meaning of this. In olden times, not everyone knew how to read, not everyone knew how to say a siddur, not everyone had a siddur. A siddur was came later. Everything was by heart. So when it was time to say Hallel, Sukkot or Chanukah, whatever, not everyone knew how to say Hallel. So one method of saying Hallel was to have a chazan, and he would say phrases of Hallel, and the crowd just after every phrase would just say Hallelujah. That's all. Like similar to saying Amen, like when you want to Yotzer Bracha, you say Amen. Says Rabbi Akiva, this is how they said the Shira. What does that mean? Moshe Omar, Ashira Lashem. Moshe said, let's sing to Hashem. V'heim Omer Ashira Lashem. And they said Ashira Lashem. Moshe Omar ki go ego. Moshe said the next phrase. V'heim Omer Ashira Lashem. And they said again Ashira Lashem. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu sang the song. He sang every phrase. And they confirmed that phrase by saying Ashira Lashem. Every phrase. Every time he said a phrase, they said Ashira Lashem. Okay. That's one opinion. Rabbi Eliezer, Benoish Rabbi Yosi Aglili Oimer, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, says, Kekoton hamakriya sahala. Now, it's like a child that prompts an adult to say Hallel. And when a child does that, he can't do that original method because you can't be Yotze from a child. So how does a child do it? A child says every phrase and the adult repeats that phrase. And they answer everything he says. So what does that mean for the Shira? Moshe Omar Ashira Lashem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I will sing to Hashem. And they say, I'm singing to Hashem. Moshe Omar ki go'i go'i. Moshe Rabbeinu says, ki go'a go'a. V'hein ki go'a go'a. In other words, every phrase that Moshe Rabbeinu sang, said, they repeat it. They repeated not Ashira Lashem, they repeated that phrase. That's a second opinion. Third opinion, Rav Nechemia says, Kesoifer apuris al shmal beis HaKnesses. No, they said it more like a chazan in the shul. The chazan says the opening words, and everyone in unison says the rest of the tefillah, which means shu paseach tefillah, he opens, v'hein oy macharav, and they just flow on. In other words, he says, what happened was Moshe Rabbeinu said Ashira Lashem, and they, together with Moshe Rabbeinu, said the whole Shira. Somehow they knew Ruach HaKodesh, they knew how to sing the whole Shira. Right? Okay. That's the three opinions. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a sikha on this, a talk. He says the following. I'll just tell you outside. I'm going to just stop the sharing 1 second. So the Rebbe said the following thing. It's based on a Or HaChaim HaKodesh in this week's parsha. Or HaChaim HaKodesh says the following. Or HaChaim HaKodesh says that when they sang the Shira, when the Yidden came out of the Yisrael and they sang the Shira, right? it was very important for them to say it in unison. He said, Mashpirusha Yoimru Yaha, they said it together. Without any change, without any separation, they were like one person, right? One person focused together, saying the same thing, davening and singing to Hashem. That's what Arachaim says. Now, how did that happen? So we know that according to all three opinions, Moshe Rabbeinu started, right? And then they said, whatever they said, according to different opinions, they said all in unison, but it was Moshe Rabbeinu starting. What does that mean? Because how were they able to say it in proper unison? It's because Moshe Rabbeinu was the head of the generation, right? The head of the generation doesn't just mean that Moshe Rabbeinu happened to be the leader. It's much more than that. It was more that he was the spiritual leader. In other words, he led them spiritually. He was able to give them ruchnis. The Zohar says Moshe Rabbeinu was called Raya Mehemna, which can mean faithful shepherd, but can also mean a shepherd of faith. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Yidden Emunah. He gave them the connection to Hashem. Now, in the Shira, it actually says that, right? After they saw, before they sang the Shira, we know that the famous phrase, they saw all the Egyptians drowned, and they saw they were saved. What does it say there? Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo, right? They believed in Hashem and in Moshe Rabbeinu, his servant. Because a Yid, how do we connect to Hashem? The Gemara says, like it's brought down in Tanya also, it says in the Pasuk, the Gemara purports the Chumash, it says that we should connect to Tzadikim and Talmidei Chachamim. Why? Because the Pasuk says you should connect, you should cleave to Hashem. Says the Gemara, is it possible to cleave to Hashem? I can cleave to Hashem. Says, yeah, Hadbeik b'Talmidei Chachamim. You've got to cleave to Tzadikim. The Munas Tzadikim, right? Because through them, that's your connection point to Hashem. Of course, we daven straight to Hashem, we connect straight to Hashem, but it's the Tzadikim give us the koyach to connect Hashem. So the connecting point between us and Hashem is through the Tzadikim, right? That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the one to start the Shira, right? Start the Shira. And through the Yidden having a munna in Moshe Rabbeinu, and through their giving themselves over to Moshe Rabbeinu, following his guidance, following him, and being dedicated to him, being completely given over to him, they were able to join in and join in singing the Shira together with everyone else. However, that surrender, so to speak, to Moshe Rabbeinu, the giving themselves over their Munna and Moshe Rabbeinu, can happen in three ways. And this is the machlokes between the three opinions of how the Shira was said. In other words, like this. Rabbi Akiva holds, right? Rabbi Akiva holds that they were just totally given over to Hashem, so to speak, by losing themselves a little bit. They said, okay, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu tells us to do, that's what we're going to do, right? That's why they didn't even sing the Shira. They just joined in with Moshe Rabbeinu's Shira. Every phrase that he said, they said, Ashira l'Hashem. So, goy goy, Ashira l'Hashem. Sus v'reichu, Ashira l'Hashem. Because they were just an extension of Moshe Rabbeinu. Comes along, Rabbi Loza, the son of Reisev, and he says, no. That's not good enough. Because that means that they've given themselves over to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they've put their own feelings and their own things aside. So now what happens is, when that happens, when you start then to bring your feelings back, then you're a separate person. Then you start feeling all the nonsense that you feel. He says, no, they sang it differently. They actually were so connected to Moshe Rabbeinu that when Moshe Rabbeinu said a phrase, they didn't have to say, Ashira, they shouldn't have answered like Amen, Ashira Lashem. They knew how to repeat the phrase. They could repeat it after him. In other words, they, in every part of them, they were able to bring the Moshe Rabbeinu and his guidance and his Kedusha into every part of what they were doing. Yeah. Comes along Rav Nachman and says, no, it's even deeper than that. Right? And he says, sorry, not Rav Nachman, Rav Nechemiah. Nechemiah says, no, it's even deeper than that. They became so connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they understood him so well, and they took his advice and his guidance and his Kedusha and his Amunah so deeply that all Moshe Rabbeinu had to do was start, and they already knew how to say on their own, they knew how to say the rest. That's how connected the word to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the bottom line is, the common theme between these two is that really, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe Avdo, there needs to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, there needs to be the tzaddik, the leader, because that's how you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every three of his opinions held, they needed a Moshe Rabbeinu to start the Shira, and only then they could do it in unison. The three opinions throws the three levels of how that can actually happen, and how deep it could be. It could be either you totally give up, like surrender, but then you lost yourself. Secondly is, no, you have yourself, at least you can repeat it. And the third one is, no, you're so given over that actually on your own you can work out what Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching you to do, and that's why they could say the Shira on their own. Okay, we'll stop there.